words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Preached on Christmas Day on this gospel, and it's a privilege to preach again today on this gospel because it's one of the most beautiful words in the gospels. A poetic rendering of the gift of life that our triune God has given us. It's one of the most beautiful portions, and there are all kinds of wonderful adaptations and translations, and I encourage you to read them, to look for them, and maybe try one out yourself in meditation with the gospel. How might you adapt the reality that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, into your Christian faith, into your day-to-day life, into how you interact and communicate with others? I like to think of this as God is the original Word, the original communicator. And God gives us God's Word, and God promises to keep God's Word. Now, this is both simple and complicated, right? But I think God keeps God's Word to us in the Word made flesh is something that we can hang on to and think about as we try to grapple with our faith in this day and in this life. So, we didn't have as many guests this Christmas as we usually have, but my two sons were with us, and the fact is, we do not like the same music. My oldest son likes some stuff that sounds like, I don't know, punk rock that I listened to in my day, but it's not the good stuff, you know, the original stuff. And my other son likes rap and played me some songs, Lucky with I. And as long as I couldn't hear the words, the beats were fine, right? But we were talking about, you know, generation gaps and differences in what people enjoy. And this became very, I guess, concerning for me because that generation of theirs has so much to worry about. So much to worry about. And I want to give them a sense of purpose, and I want to give them a sense of belovedness, and but they have to find this for themselves. In the Word, in God's Word. They have to believe that the original communicator will believe and keep their promise to us. And that's hard to do these days. It's hard to do. There's a lot of isolation. There's a lot to fear. And we can just keep putting one foot in front of the other. So fast forward to trying to pick a movie together that we all wanted to see, and didn't work out very well. So they went to one movie, and my husband and I went to see A Complete Unknown. Bob Dylan, I thought they might like Timothée Chalamet, but no, they wanted to go to another movie. And my husband and I were sitting there singing all those songs, and And just kind of getting sad too, thinking people have to engage in those struggles for civil rights and racial reconciliation and women's equality and all the things that when Bob Dylan in the early 60s was singing in little folk songs that people were fighting for, against war, against racism. And I was like, we have to fight these fights all over again. All over again. And that's where we have to say that, yes, and God, the original communicators, God's first word about creation was that it was good. God's first two words about humanity was that it was very good. And we have to keep reminding each other of that over and over and over again. And to find comfort and strength in the people of our day who love God and who are loved by God, who are willing to stand up for kindness, respect of women, gay rights, all the things that we, you know, kind of thought we had made some progress on to make humanity more kind and more open. Here in Texas, we have a lot of work to do as people of faith. And this isn't about being political. It's about being Christians engaged in our community. I hate it when people try to polarize with, you know, saying that that's political. Well, if you're affected by these things, it's very personal, is it not? If you're affected by whether or not you can afford health care, if you're affected about whether you have options or not, that affects you very personally. And at Christmas, as the Word becomes flesh, we are asked to say that baby in the manger, year after year, is worth protecting. And the babies in all the mangers, year after year, are worth protecting. Each generation, each year, we have to find a way to make that real in our lives, to find the inspiration to continue to walk the way of love, the way of incarnation, to respect our flesh and blood, brothers and sisters, siblings, who we may not agree with, who we may not understand. I was listening to one of the songs from the movie, and it sounded like a conversation I had with my son about music. And the verse was, "Come mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you don't understand." And I always thought I was kind of cutting edge, so I thought I would understand them, right? But they have to make their own path. And we have to make our own path in this new reality. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand, for the times, they are a-changing. That's exactly the conversation I had with my sons, of whom I'm so proud of. And yet they have to, we have to, again and again, find a way to listen to the angels and the shepherds and the courageous young women and the men, the good men who stand by them and respect their choices, and the foreign emissaries. The story that's not in this gospel, but is in the other couple of gospels. The sweet part of Christmas. But we have to commit. We have to commit to listening outside the box to how God's word is speaking into our hearts, into our lives, into our communities, again and again and again. Just one last story. This year, for the first time in a long time, we participated in Las Posadas. And many of you participated, and it's a Latin American tradition where Mary and Joseph and the crowd try to find room at the inn for Mary and Joseph and the baby, and they get rejected, and then they get accepted. And it was so moving for me because I hadn't participated in that in a long time. It was a huge part of my ministry when I worked in El Salvador. And this year, we got the word that one of the angels from my posada in El Salvador, decades ago, has been granted asylum, and her family, thanks to the work of this community here, thanks to those who accepted inviting them in, thanks to those who took them to school, who took them to lawyers, who just prayed for them. And it's not a small thing. It was an impossible task because of many reasons. And yet, together, we were able to protect this mother now, an angel in my posada, so I have a picture of her with her little wings like we do in our posadas and in our pageant. And she traveled with her children here without much hope, but connected with us. And miraculously, despite everything that's going on, is now, in many ways, safe. She believed that God's word meant something, that God would keep God's promises. And she was right. We need examples of where there has been triumph when people make journeys in faith. And we need to be part of that story. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And we can speak a word of humanity in the inhumanity. We can speak a word of hope in our desolation. And we can keep our word as people who love God and who are loved by God. Amen.